me. He has redeemed me, and I am his child. Under his wings, who from his love can sever? Under his wings, my soul shall abide, safely abide forever. Under his wings, what a refuge in sorrow. How the heart yearningly turns to his rest. Often when earth has no balm for my healing, there I find comfort, and there I am blessed. Under his wings, who from his love can sever? Under his wings, my soul shall abide, safely abide forever.
Join with us.
Under his wings, oh, what precious enjoyment. There will I hide till life's trials are o'er. Sheltered, protected, no evil can harm me. Resting in Jesus, I'm safe evermore. Under his wings, who from his love can sever? Under his wings, my soul shall abide, safely abide forever.
I'm going to give a short report of my recent trip I had just to Mexico. Appreciate your prayers always. It was a trip during the time of year that I realized it was going to be really rough because of the heat. When you're going down there, from here to there, you're halfway to the equator. So by that time, it gets pretty hot. Plus, I was in two different places mainly, and one of those was on the almost at sea level in the jungle. I was hearing howler monkeys every day out in the trees and stuff like that, and it's jungle literally when I say that. But we had youth camp the week before Easter. I had 200 campers, and in the town of Busilha, got up to about 100 degrees both Wednesday and Thursday, and I was preaching and all that three times a day. When they want me to preach, they don't want an hour. They want at least an hour and a half. So by the time I was done, I was wrenched out, so to speak. Thankfully, on Thursday night, a small storm came through. We had a little bit of lightning and didn't really get that much rain. It barely wet everything, but it did drop the temperature. And we had a cloudy day on Friday, so it was a lot easier on Friday than the rest of those days. The place I was staying there had a fan, a big fan. And I would sit in front of it, and it felt just as bad in front of that hot air fan as it did away from the fan. Didn't help one bit. I took with me a little small handheld rechargeable fan that you can just hold up, and it had a misting feature with water. The humidity was so high, all it did was wet me. It did not help me at all. Where we're going, it's not going to be like that. We're going to a different part of the country. Had 10 kids saved at that camp. And the Lord really blessed us, had a lot of other decisions, had about 12 or 13 churches represented, had a wonderful time. Then from there I went, during the time we were there, one of the churches that sent over a group of campers, one of their leaders. He's the principal of the public school there in town, and he's also a preacher. And he's not the pastor of the church, but he's one of the leaders of the church there. And he has a vehicle. And now, usually when I'm in that area, he's the one who moves me around, because he has a real nice pickup, and he's the one who carries me from place to place. And so I was there at the camp. We got there on Tuesday, and it was going through Friday. He had already brought his kids over, had to go back for some reason. Thursday morning, real early, he got up at about 4 o'clock in the morning, was driving back, was about an hour away from the camp, and they stopped on the road and stole his pickup and stole everything he had. And there were him and another guy, and they cut him off. He was at a small village, and it was still dark almost, and he had a speed bump, so he had to slow down. And when he did that, they cut in front of him, came out with guns and stuff, and took away his pickup. One of the guys drove off his pickup. They put him and the other guy in another car, and they started driving out into the boonies, so to speak, into the dirt road. And the idea was to get him far away from everyone else, that if they dropped him off, he'd take a long time then to report it. And so while they were driving him off, he was telling them, "Well, you know, back in my truck, you took my Bible. Let me tell you what that Bible says. And he began witnessing and preaching to them. And after a little while, the guy just turned around, went back to the pavement. He'd already taken his watch away from him. He said, "Here's your watch. Get out. Understand, this is our job." And he apologized for what he was doing to him. It's amazing what you're going to think. Of course, they were not hurt, thankfully. Of course. For them, a vehicle is worth a lot more than it would be to us. It was a big blow to them, and with the church, the campers got him a special offering to help out with some of the expenses, things like that. He borrowed another pickup, come and pick me up, and we went over there to his church on Saturday and Sunday. Had another two people saved there, especially on Easter morning, and they were really blessed in that time. Still very hot, but it was a little bit better than it was in for the first place. Monday, I took public transportation since they have a vehicle for me. All day long up in the mountains, and got to another camp place. And we started Tuesday, went Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. Had about 120 campers there. We had one saved there also. So it was a good trip. And I got back. I preached 22 times in 8 days. So I got back kind of tired. It was a rough time, but that was just great. We will be leaving next week. I will be leaving a week from tomorrow. I'll be here next Sunday morning. Well, the pastor's gone, and then that very next morning I'll leave, and I'll get there ahead of time to get some things ready. Provy and Brother Daniel and several others. We've got David coming up from Argentina with two preachers, and several others are going. We're going to have a pretty good crowd coming from the States. We'll meet there on Wednesday night, and we'll go to a place where we'll be meeting a group of preachers, about 50 preachers. They'll be in the middle of a class, which starts on Tuesday. I won't be teaching the class. I'll be helping. I'll be teaching part of the class, but we have another man from California who was a missionary in Paraguay for a long time. He was an Orthodox Jew before he got saved. And so the way he teaches is a lot different than others, because he looks at things very differently in his teaching, and the guys really like him. And he'll be teaching that whole week, Tuesday through Friday. Friday afternoon we'll drive 3 or 4 hours, spend the night. The next morning we'll be going on Saturday, which is 2 weeks from yesterday. Saturday we'll dedicate a church building. The next day we'll go to one of the very first churches my father established there, very first villages he ever visited when he first started going. Then Monday we had to reroute, go to a different place. And then Tuesday, with the 55th anniversary of my father's first trip into the Indian tribes. And they always like to celebrate it. They've done it for the 35th anniversary, for the 40th, for the 50th. 5 years ago we did it for the 50th. We rented the bull ring in the largest town we could get to have enough room for everyone. And we expected 4,000 to 5,000 people. We had a tropical storm 3 days before it, and it washed out the roads, and people couldn't even make it to it. And during the event, it rained. Ask Brother Tom. He was there. Brother Turner was there. Several others were there. I think Brother Jeffrey was there on that one. It was a rough trip. But now it's been 5 years. It doesn't seem like it's been 5 years since that event. And now we're doing the 55th one. We're going to do it at where the radio station is located, right at where the studio and the antenna and everything is, around that. We're getting together. It's also the second anniversary of the radio station. And so it's been 2 years that the radio station is going. We're expecting several thousand people for the event on that Tuesday the 14th. And then we fly back on the 15th. So it's going to be a heavy trip. Pray for us. Thank you for your prayers for this one. Lord bless.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Bruce. Super. Always excited when Brother Bruce gets back, or any of our missionaries, really. Brother Harry Shepherd calls from Idaho, I'm always anxious to hear what's going on. And And when you hear about 13 young people getting saved, that's pretty exciting. To say the least, God intervened in those lives while they're young and be part of their lives. From the, it's going to be interesting, that many people up there around the radio station, though. It's pretty tight in there. And I'm excited that Daniel's going to get to go. What was she saying about being cool already? And I'm going to have to talk to this. You know, I love working with Daniel. He's wonderful. Michelle makes up for any lackings.
And leader.
Yeah. Yeah, that's I'm still trying to figure out what he said about the badges too. I mean, you know, some things you just got to exaggerate. What's the difference between exaggeration and we won't go into all that, but I'm so thankful indeed for the privilege of working with the Flores family. They are indeed a blessing to us. Are you guys staying awake tonight? Nicholas is pure honesty. He might not. Well, okay. What'd you tell me happens last? What'd you tell me last week if you fell asleep? What happens? I gotta cover the microphone. They get a whooping if they know if I'm. It's all right. Amen. Please be turning, if you would, to two places. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25, and James chapter 4, verse 12. The song the men sang certainly goes with what we'll be looking at this evening. We've been talking about the God of possibilities. Indeed, He is a God of possibilities. And this evening's theme is that He, this God of possibilities, is able to save. Well, He's able. He's certainly able to save. You can be stand with me. We'll read that verse in Hebrews, and we'll look at in James a little later on in the message. Hebrews chapter 5, chapter 7, verse 25, very familiar verse. It says, "Wherefore He is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by Him, seeing He ever liveth to make intercession for them." Father, we thank You this evening for the tremendous report, what You're doing there in Mexico. Thank You, Father, for the privilege that we have as a church to be part of all that. We're grateful that as our missionaries are sent forth from us, representing us, part of us, that indeed we are part of what's going on there in Mexico, in Argentina, and Idaho and Samoa and on and on and on. We're grateful, thank You, Father, for all Your blessings to us, to allow us to be part of that. Seeing souls spared, seeing souls delivered. And we look at this evening, this passage, this subject, that You indeed are able to save. We love You, Lord. Thank You in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. A few weeks back, we began discovering some things about our God's ability, His ability. We've seen that without question, He is the God that can. He's the God that can. He is the God of the impossible. The impossible. Many, of course, don't believe that. Of course, so many in the world today, they would tell us. In fact, Daniel was sharing with me this morning that they spoke with a gentleman yesterday that he told Daniel, and I don't know who was with him there at the door, that he hoped that they got out of that stuff. Of course, he was talking about believing the Bible, believing that what God has done for us and what God is able to do, and he didn't believe. He says, "You're believing a bunch of myths." Well, there's a lot of folks that believe that you and I have committed our lives to nothing more than myths. There's so many that either don't believe in God at all, or they don't really believe that if there is a God, well, He's probably not really able to do all that much anyway. It was brought home to me recently by a story I read. You know how preachers are, they like stories. But I read the story of a young boy that was traveling to spend some time with his grandparents. And so they got him to the airport and they had him put on the airplane, and he was seated beside a man that was a seminary professor, if you imagine that. Well, this little boy was reading his previous Sunday's Sunday school paper, you know, that handout that they get in Sunday school. And when the professor noticed what he was reading, he thought he would have some fun with the boy. And he said, "Young man, if you can tell me something God can do, I'll give you a big, shiny red apple." Well, the boy thought about it for a little bit, and then he finally replied. He said, "Mister, if you can tell me something God can't do, I'll give you a barrel of apples." Amen. That's pretty good to me. Who had the most faith, huh? With that same thought, well, we're going to look at some biblical truths concerning our salvation. And I pray, I hope that it should hold us in good stead concerning our confidence and our peace about what God has done for us. When I hear those reports, whether it be from Mexico or across the street, wherever it might be that someone would receive the Lord Jesus Christ, my heart is warmed. I never grow weary of hearing folks' testimony, their salvation testimonies, and hearing about folks being saved, because I know that their soul has been delivered from an eternal destiny of judgment. Amen. They've been delivered to the good keeping of our God. Well, there are great differences as to what various groups within, quote unquote, we use this term very broadly, Christendom believe and teach about salvation. And I'm not so much concerned about what the false teachers are teaching this evening. I'm more concerned about what we're teaching. Amen. And that we teach the truth. Amen. That we teach what the Bible says about salvation. What I'm concerned with is that we stick to preaching Christ. I am grateful, and I'm always anxious to hear what's going on with our missionaries, and I'm grateful that when I came here, we didn't have to try to build a heart for missions in this church, but that it has been the heritage, the hallmark of Metropolitan Baptist Church for many, many decades. And we can continue in that grand heritage, seeing folks saved. Is God able to save? Of course, that's a rhetorical question. But we ask that question to start this evening. Is God able to save? We mentioned James chapter 4 and verse 12 a moment ago. If you have a finger there, we see what it says, what James writes. He says there is one lawgiver who is able to save, and notice also to destroy. To save and to destroy. Who art thou that judgeth another? Who are you to be judging another? There's only one true judge, one who's able to save and one that is able to destroy. Well, how many lawgivers are there? How many lawgivers are there? And of course, we understand there's many lawgivers in this world in which we live, this temporal world, and they're there to legislate temporal power over us. But no man of this world has power over your soul, save God. Except for our God. We read here that there's only one, and one only that can save and one that can destroy. Be mindful that the Lord Jesus Christ warned, don't worry about those that are able to destroy, and I'm paraphrasing, those that are able to destroy the body. But more be concerned, we're concerned over that one who's able to destroy both body and soul. Speaking of our God, no man of this world has power over your soul. And Peter told the religious leaders of the Jews, and such an important verse, in Acts chapter 4 and verse 12, where it says, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name given among men," or excuse me, "given under heaven among men, whereby we must be saved." One name in which we may be saved. And we're familiar. We know what the Lord Jesus Christ has said in John 14 and verse 6, where he said that no man cometh unto the Father but by me. But by me. The only way of salvation is through the Lord Jesus Christ. But we don't lament that this evening, do we? We don't lament that. No, we rejoice in that. That God has given us the way. As we saw this morning, that he has been pleased to show us his grace. The only way of salvation is through the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no hope of eternal life in Muhammad. There's no hope of eternal life in Buddha. I can't look to my dead ancestors to give me help in any way, in any form, to get me to paradise. Any religion, now listen to this, any religion that is based upon giving you something to do in order to gain favor or merit with God is a lie. Is a lie. A couple of the first verses I read memorized early on after I was saved was from Titus chapter 3. Titus chapter 3, verse 5. I'm sure this is one you've put to memory, where it says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but what? According to his mercy. He saved us by the washing of redemption and washing of regeneration, renewing of the Holy Ghost. I really do have it memorized. But it goes on in verse 6 and says this, which he shed, or which he poured out on us abundantly, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Thank you, Lord. Is God able to save? Absolutely. Absolutely. There may be only one name by which we can be saved, but praise God for the name of Jesus Christ. But secondly, who is God able to save? Get a little more to the point here. We all have confidence this evening that God is able to save, but who is God able to save? Well, we read there in Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25, as we began this evening, where it says, wherefore he is able to save them. He's able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. It says that he's able to save them who come unto God by him. Well, who is that? Well, the him there is, of course, the Lord Jesus Christ. And this chapter in Hebrews is talking about that great high priest of our salvation, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God that we preached about this morning. But who's the them? He's able to save them to the uttermost to come unto God by him. Well, who is that them? Well, who is it? Well, is it a certain class of people? Certain ethnic group, a certain people group, certain race, or any such thing you want to plug in there? Well, we would obviously say no, absolutely not. That is absolutely not. But the Apostle Paul, so thankful for what Paul wrote to that group of believers, that local church there in Rome. And Romans being that theology book of the New Testament. And concerning our salvation, in Romans chapter 10 and verse 13, speaking of who can get saved, who is God able to save? Where it says, therefore, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, I'm not trying to be cute, hard, it'd be impossible for me to do anyway. Not trying to be cute, but the them of Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25 are the same people that we find Paul talking about in Romans chapter 10 in verse 13 that he calls the whosoever. Beloved, the them, and I know this is terrible grammar, the them is the whosoever that will call upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Any man, any person, every person, and we say whosoever, and it's certainly that we would say anyone, but it is indeed anyone and everyone that will call upon the name of the Lord for the forgiveness of their sins can be saved, shall be saved. That one will be delivered and set free from the bondage of their sin. The Lord Jesus Christ is able and he is willing to save all who come to him in faith. Amen. Call out to him in faith. He is there to save. Why did he come? Why did he come? He came to do what? To seek and to save that which is lost. Amen. That's where I fit in. It's not enough. Now be mindful. It's not enough just to agree that God is able to save or that Jesus is able to save, if we want to put it that way. Dear friend, we need to remember that even the devils believe. Are they saved? No. The devils believe. They know who Jesus is and they know why he came. They know the gospel better than we do. Doesn't mean they're saved. You must know him. You must receive him, the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, yes. You must call, as we read there, upon the name of the Lord to be saved. Amen. It's important, isn't it? We need to remember this in this matter of our salvation. Because we have sinned against a holy, eternal, infinite God, the punishment, the wages of that sin is an eternal, infinite payment to make it right. You and I couldn't make that payment. We couldn't make an infinite. The only way we can pay that debt, is for it to be an eternal, infinite payment. But Jesus paid it for us. Amen. Jesus paid it for us. Man is a finite and an imperfect creature. Doesn't have the ability to pay his own sin debt. We are not able to redeem ourselves. With man, salvation is impossible. That's why man-made religion is such a travesty. It's a lie. There's nothing you and I can do to earn our salvation. Amen. Forgive me, I learned when I was thinking about Georgia. Georgia on my mind, as I heard that someplace. When I was in Georgia, I learned that you got more to do than you can do. If you think you can save yourself, it's impossible. But, praise God, we have a God of what? The impossible. We have a God that can. We have a God that is able to save, as we've seen here, to the uttermost. Able to save to the uttermost. So as we see that then, there's no question in our mind he's able to save, and he's able to save anyone and everyone that would call out to the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, next question, just how secure am I in this salvation? How secure am I in this salvation that God has given to me? Beloved, just how safe are we? Well, what we say, this verse is in Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25. It says, he is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him. Well, that word uttermost is very important. What does it mean? I know that you all use that word every day. Just in common everyday language, you talk about things to the uttermost. Well, what do we mean when we say that? The idea of the word means completely. To save us completely. The idea of the word, and it's interesting, I think you can picture this, where it says to the uttermost, it means all the way to the end. The literal meaning of the word. To the end. To the uttermost. Well, what would that tell us? He's able to save completely, fully, all the way to the end. Amen. Jesus promises his protection for those that come unto God through him. In John chapter 10 and verse 28, Jesus promises his, now listen, protection for those who come unto God through him, to those he has given eternal life. John chapter 10, verse 28, you know this verse. It says, and I give unto them eternal life. What kind of life? Eternal life. And they shall never perish. Is that hard to understand, those words? They shall never perish. Neither, he wants to emphasize it, he goes on to say, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Amen. Jesus has promised our protection to protect us there, isn't he? We're safe in his hand. But he multiplies that promise. He adds to that promise. I like the word multiply better. He multiplies that promise by adding his Father's protection in the next verse. In the 29th verse, he says, my Father, which gave them me, is greater than all. Who's he greater than? All.
Amen.
And no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. Who's that? Those that Jesus has given eternal life, those that God the Father has given to his Son. I mean, that sounds pretty good to me. That sounds pretty secure. Sounds pretty safe to me.
Amen.
So we see then that the believer's security rests in ourselves. I'm looking around to see if anybody's even shaking their head. Maybe I should just... Are you listening? Our security rests in me. No, it doesn't. Our security rests in our Savior.
Amen.
The believer's security rests in his seeing. What does it say there in Hebrews 7:25? Seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. What's the Lord Jesus Christ doing right now? As we're here meeting in this auditorium. He's praying for you. He's praying. Where did he go when he returned to glory? To the right hand of his Father.
Amen.
Well, I can't imagine he has his Father's ear. Huh? Of course he does. And he's there with a promise to keep us and protect us at the right hand of his Father who has promised to keep us and protect us. Huh. Wow. To say that you can lose your salvation. Now listen to this very important statement. Not that I've said it. But to say that you can lose your salvation and to say that God is not able to keep his promise to keep you. Did we get that? Has God promised to keep us?
Amen.
Yes. And for me then to say, well, we can lose our salvation if we do this or do whatever it is, stick with me, is to say that God's not able to keep his promise to you. And we know that that's ridiculous. God is able. You need not, must not, rest in ourselves to keep us saved, but rest in the ability, God's ability to keep you.
Amen.
To keep you. Secondly, we see that God's able to keep those whom he saves. Again, we're saying it a different way. Where it said it a moment ago, no man's able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. Beloved, please take these truths in. Treasure them. Treasure them. When you lay down your head tonight, you lay down your head in peace, knowing that your salvation is secure.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
You know, I was a little guy, my mom and dad used to teach us that old children's prayer. It's not biblical. Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I shall die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul will take. It's not really biblical. If you belong to the Lord Jesus Christ, you're no concern about where your soul's going to be. God has promised. The Lord Jesus Christ has promised to keep you and protect you indeed. Yes. Well, we also see here, with that then, the confidence. The confidence that is ours. The believer's confidence in the God that can. Paul's writing to his dear young friend in 2 Timothy. He's writing to Timothy near the end of his life. We believe as that letter's penned that the Apostle Paul is imprisoned for the second time in Rome. And so it's believed that this is the last letter that Paul wrote. And as we said, he's writing to Timothy, one of those preachers that he discipled and trained for the ministry of the Word of God. And he's encouraging Timothy that regardless of what he might face in this world, there is nothing that can disturb his security in Christ. Listen to those words, 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 12. 2 Timothy 1, 12. Listen to Paul, and again, as he's at the end of his days, he says, for the which cause I also suffer these things. This time around, in this imprisonment, he didn't have the blessing of having his own rented house, but now he's in Mamertine prison. And he says, for this cause I also suffer these things. But he says this, nevertheless, or in spite of that, disregardless of that, he says, I am not ashamed. And he goes on, for I know whom I have believed. I know whom I put my faith in. I know whom I have my trust in. He goes on, he says, I am persuaded. I'm convinced. Forgive me, you hear me say this? Paul is essentially saying, you've come too late to tell me different. I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. What had Paul committed to the Lord Jesus Christ? What had Paul committed to his God? Well, everything, didn't he? But he had committed his eternal soul to the Lord Jesus Christ there on that road outside the city of Damascus. He's encouraging Timothy in this. Again, Paul had come too far with the Lord Jesus Christ in all those years of ministry and seeing God do for him and through him over and over again. The myriads that had been saved, the churches that had been established, and no one was going to convince Paul otherwise of what God could do for him. He understood that the Emperor Nero could very easily take his life, and he ultimately did. But he could not separate Paul from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, as he wrote to the Romans. He knew who he had trusted for his eternal destiny. He knew who his faith, his trust was resting in. Do you know that tonight? Huh? Do we know that?
Amen.
He was completely convinced that he is able to keep What was he able to keep? Paul's soul. Paul's spirit, his eternal soul, which he had committed unto him, unto the Lord Jesus Christ, against that day, it says. It's interesting. What's he talking about? Paul's talking about how long he feels that he has that confidence for. How long does Paul believe that God is able to keep him? Against that day. Paul was convinced that God would keep him until that day. Well, what day is he talking about? Well, we find out if you're there, we find out in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 8. That chapter, what a chapter it is. In verse 1, Paul says to Timothy, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead, the alive and the dead, at his appearing in his kingdom. What did Paul charge Timothy with? This is what I leave with you, Timothy. This is the ministry I have given to you. Beloved, this is the ministry that Christ has given to this church and to this preacher. Amen. And to every believer. Preach the word.
Amen.
Preach the word. Be instant, in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. He warns that the time will come when folks won't want to hear it. They'll have those. For the time will come, he says in verse 3, when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall heap up to themselves teachers having itching ears. And we see how folks are turning away from the good word of God. Give us this, give us that, entertain us, give us a easier message, an easier gospel. But there's one gospel.
Amen.
And one message, and that message is Christ. That message is Jesus Christ. Well, what's Paul talking about as we drop down there into verse 8. Well, let's read verse 7. Forgive me. Let's start in verse 6. Paul says, for I am now ready to be offered. Notice how he thinks of that. As he lay down his life, he just sees it as an offering unto the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I've fought a good fight. I've finished my course. I have kept the faith. And he says this, henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. What day is it? That day when Paul would receive his glorified body and his reward in the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice he says, and not to me only. He's talking about what we're going to get in on as well. And not to me only, but unto all them that love his appearing. Are you looking forward to the appearing of Christ?
Amen.
Second coming of Christ. Can you believe, can you just imagine what it's going to be like? My first pastor, he always said this, and the first time he said it, I had to think it through. He was talking about what, you know, he says, I don't know I don't know whether I want to be here when the Lord returns, be alive, you know, and hear that trump and join the Lord in the air. What a experience that'll be. But he said, on the other hand, if I die before the Lord comes, and then we'll experience that resurrection from the dead. He said, the bottom line was, is something you hear from me all the time. We can't lose. Either way, we can't lose. Amen. The apostle's referring to that day of Christ's return for us. We'll be secure then? We surely will. We'll be with him then for all eternity.
Amen.
Paul believed that his God was able to keep him till that day. In Ephesians, Paul wrote to those folks in Ephesus in the fourth chapter in the 30th verse where he says, grieve not. Oh, I trust this is your prayer. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Of course, there, Paul's looking across that horizon to that time that he's writing to Timothy about, that time of that redemption, even of this physical body. Wow. Paul understood, didn't he? Oh my, I pray that we'd get hold of this truth. It does us so well. Hold this truth and never, ever forget it. There's tough times along the way as Christians. There's times that the Satan throws everything at us and discourages us and tries to wear us down and this and that. Just this afternoon, trying to encourage on the phone a dear brother in the Lord that's really battling, painful, and just, I don't want to go into it all, but so struggling, so ready to just nearly give up. But beloved, we've got a God that is able.
Amen.
We have a God that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. We've got a God that is able to save us. We've got a God that is able to keep us. And again, how do you know? Because he promised to. And I trust him. He's able. Jesus Christ is in glory, as we said earlier, at the right hand of his Father, praying for you and praying for me. And as we see here in these verses, the Holy Spirit has sealed us unto that day. So what do we learn? That the entire Trinity is involved in your security. Jesus has promised, we saw it, to protect us in John chapter 10. The Father is involved in that promise to keep us and protect us. No one can pluck us out of their hand. And here we've just read that the Holy Spirit has sealed us.
Amen.
With himself under that day of do you feel secure?
Amen.
Are you thankful that God is able to save?
Amen.
Amen. That refuge that we heard sung about. It's a beautiful thought, isn't it? What's a refuge? That place we flee to, isn't it, when there's danger? The world has nothing to throw at you that you do not have a safe refuge from. Let's stand together. Father, we thank you tonight that we serve the God that is able. Thankful that I serve a God of the impossible, the God that can. And so, Father, this evening, I pray that your word, as we've looked into it this evening, would encourage us, strengthen us, help us, Father, as we seek to live and live for and to serve you. Father, I pray for every person in this room tonight, young and old men and women, young people, children, everyone that knows the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, please encourage, challenge, help. Well, Lord, I don't want to fail to pray for those who may be in this room tonight without Christ, that need that hope, that need you to do for them. Lord, I'm praying, Lord, whether it be a child or an adult, a young person, help them, Father, to see their need and flee to Christ. As we read, Father, call upon his name, to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. We love you, Lord. Thank you for your love for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, Brother John.
Page 157.
Amen. As we sing, please obey the Lord. What he'd have you to do tonight.
I hear the Savior say, thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me thine all in all. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left. left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Lord, now indeed I find thy power and thine alone can change the leper's spots and melt the heart of stone. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, he washed it white as snow.
Well, amen. Is God able to save? Amen. Yes, he is. And he's able to keep us too. Amen. Brother John, come.
Let's be dismissed with our chorus.
Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds the future, and life is worth the living just because he lives.